my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler. I'm joined today by the very chatty Adam Soka. How are you, Adam?
Hi, Stuart.
You know why you're chatty? Because I don't know if what you just said made it to the start of the recording, but now I got to edit and clip that out just in case. So.
Oh, do you really? Well, you know what? I figured I would respond with just hi, Stuart, after you called me chatty, just for the effect of it.
Yeah, it worked. I got a question for you, sir. Are you wearing a Yahoo hat today, or did sports happen and that's a BYU hat?
You know what? I'm so glad you asked. So tonight, BYU plays the number one basketball team in the country, Arizona, here in Provo. And last night, I splurged and got tickets for me and three of my kids to go to that game tonight. And I'll be honest, I'm worthless in this discussion. I'm worthless in every meeting I have for the rest of today because I'm just dying to get to the game and experience the atmosphere.
I mean, it's good that you can root on your team, even though they're facing certain defeat. So I congratulate you not being a fair weather fan. Speaking of fair weather, we got a friend here who's not dealing with fair weather. It's pretty unfair weather, but our friend Amir Alon is here from Longwoods. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Welcome from Snowmageddon aftermath. So,
Yeah.
Am I
What's it like there in
expecting
Ohio right now?
15 inches of fresh powder on the ground, and we are under what they call a level three snow emergency, which means you are not allowed to leave your home and your vehicle or you will be arrested.
Oh,
wow. You know, Myrtle Beach gets like that if there's like half an inch of snow. We choose not to leave our house because we don't know what to do. We don't have, you know, all the equipment that you guys have. Certainly don't have snow shovels.
Yeah. Snow-related martial law. I didn't see that coming.
That's right. A thing, baby.
There's probably some conspiracy theorists out there saying that this is some plot by the government to subdue people.
They want us in our home while the black helicopters fly over, right?
That's probably right. Well, Amir, we're glad you're here today. We're going to be talking about some fun stuff. We talk a lot about AI on this show. We are going to talk a little bit about AI in a second in one segment, but we want to talk to you, the man that's been polling the people for several years now. Since COVID, you've been asking people their perceptions and their intent related to travel. And so I don't think there's anyone more qualified than you and the Longwoods team to talk to us today about what else should we be paying attention to. There's certainly other trends, other things of interest at the macro level that are impacting travel. So we're going to talk about the non-AI stuff today, but it wouldn't be an episode if we didn't touch on AI. So before we do that, it is time for the greatest segment in all of destination marketing. Nay, the world, it's time for Stu's News.
I see another dancer.
Stu is a dancer. We should sort of log on a scale of 1 to 10, Adam, how much of a dancer each of our guests is.
You know what? Here's a reel that I want to create because we've done, 60-something episodes now? What if we did a reel of all the guests we've had on the show dancing to the jingle? I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it.
I will tell you, you're welcome to do it, but I'm not putting my time into that. I'll let your team handle that one.
Okay, we'll take the editing on that one.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting. And then we do it like in like emphasis order, right? So how much did they get into it? And all the way up to like the Calebs of the world. I think he's probably the most into it.
Caleb danced aggressively.
Yeah. Yeah, it was aggressive. That's a good word. Well, today's Stu's News is brought to you by Forbes, and every other news outlet in the world over the last few days is losing their mind over this one. But ChatGPT just came out and said they are beta testing and rolling out ads directly in the ChatGPT. And so this is something that, and I'm going to put it in full context. Sam Altman at one point in 2004 said ads in ChatGPT would be an absolute last resort. And he did not like ads. He thought it was aesthetically a poor choice in that they would rather rely on the revenue from subscriptions. So is this a last resort? We don't know. But people are having these rigorous debates right now about ads in ChatGPT. Now, they have come out and said two things, which I think are important to clarify. One is that they won't give the advertisers any context on the conversations, right? They're not going to give up that. And that it won't influence the conversations either. So you can't pay to have ChatGPT say that Myrtle Beach is better than Orlando or any destination, right? So you can't influence the outcome of the conversation, and we can't get information on the privacy data. So I think those are good trust building rules of engagement. But I got to tell you, from my perspective, I'm ready to experiment with this. You know, we're not on the beta right now, but I'm going to do everything I can to figure out how to get on the beta, because there's always a the very beginning of any new platform, there's always what some folks refer to as arbitrage, although that's not the technical definition, but this undervalue of the commodity. And so we're going to be very aggressively testing this. And so I don't know. I'm going to throw it to you first, Adam. Any initial response to this? And as an agency, is it something you're pursuing for your clients straight away?
Yeah, so first of all, I just kind of want to throw it back because we actually talked about this on the most recent episode that we published, and I believe that I said you mentioned that Sam Altman has said publicly that he didn't intend to do this, and I think my response was, yeah, he also said that it wasn't going to be for profit and that it was going to be open source, and neither of those came true as well,
Right.
and here we are. Now they've activated advertising on the platform, which I think we all knew had to happen. And it's really interesting too, because I think there's been a lot of chatter over the last, especially I'd say 60 days, about ChatGPT starting to lose market share at a rate that was unsafe for them. And I when you say, you know, advertising had to be a last resort, well, if subscriptions are going down like crazy, you have to layer in another revenue stream, which is exactly what I think they're doing here. I'm really excited for it because it's going to help us recognize just how effective advertising within a conversational platform is going to be. I believe, and one of the things it actually says in the article is be careful of over attributing to last click attribution, because basically you're going to see people saying, okay, well, I'll just move all my budget to ChatGPT now because that's where I can track the conversions and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting opportunity to test. And I would say, just like any other new technology or new advertising channel or platform, test it compared to what you're currently doing. Look at the performance and you know, adjust accordingly. We're definitely going to be trying it out, checking it out for our clients. And I don't know. I'm excited to see how it works because it's, and I'll wrap with this as far as my thoughts related to this is with destinations specifically, if they're not controlling the conversion, this is another great possible illusion of relevance channel if we over attribute this as a conversion. So I'll leave it at that.
Amir, what's your take?
Well, you know, as the article alluded to, A could redefine ROI, right? And so that's going to be interesting to watch and see how that happens. Or again, you know, is this going to be some kind of bogus attribution that comes out, which we see all too often that happens in other platforms and mediums? And that's going to be interesting to watch. But B, even more basically, I think it reinforces once again, you know, when people question, you know, what's going to be the role of the DMO moving forward and so forth. There it is, right in your face again. You are the best curator of content in your destination. All the more reason. It all lines up. I think it's exciting. It's going to be fun to watch. And yeah, dabble. And you know, and of course, for all our friends and colleagues out there, if you're not asking Chat GPT about yourself every single week, you're behind the eight ball already.
Yeah. You know, I had actually had a really good conversation with ChatGPT about this article and about this conversation. And one of the things it's saying, and I'm assuming, you know, this is based on everyone else's conversation, but also it's probably its internal bias, but it was talking about how this is an opportunity for the destinations to get their content and their data aligned with the truth, right? And so it talked a lot about trust and truth and how if ChatGPT is going to manifest ads, and we still don't know really the details of that, like is this an auction system? Is it keyword based or whatever? But it's important that we all sort of look at the LLMs as an important place that with organizing and parsing our data to them in a way that is comprehensive and consistent and trustworthy. And I think one of the things that I'm thinking about a little bit, and this goes back to the conversation we had with Kara Franca right before Christmas, where, you know, she's doing a really good job educating her stakeholders on how to think about AI and what to be doing. And I almost wonder if this is the time for DMOs to take on that leadership role in our community, and maybe even, I don't want to say agency role, but maybe we can help them maximize this at a community-wide level versus just as the DMO. So we're going to be exploring it, and I think it's exciting. As a consumer, I sort of have mixed opinions. I actually am someone that appreciates highly curated, targeted ads. Like, I'm someone that has bought stuff that because I've been targeted on YouTube or wherever it is, and so I automatically think ads equals bad, you know, like some people do. So it's going to be interesting, but I do think this is 12 months from now. It makes me think about, well, what percentage of my budget is going to be on AI ads, and where is that money coming from? You know, is that an even split from other stuff? Do I pull everyone down a little bit, or does it come from one or two specific sources?
Yeah.
Watch this space. I think it's going to be interesting.
It's going to come from your creative budget, right? Means you'll spend less on
Yeah.
creative, more on content.
Maybe so. I don't know. I mean, I consider content part of our creative budget, so I don't know.
Stuart, you said something that I want to just touch on here. And you said that destinations, they don't necessarily need to take on an agency role, but it's important that they have leadership in this. And I think that's actually a really critical point because all of the businesses within your destination now have the opportunity to show up in the LLMs through essentially paid media, right? So whose job is it to teach them how to do that? Whose job is it to understand it well enough to educate them on the best practices and how to show up effectively? I think the destination, if we're talking about true relevance, I think being the source of some of the education for your tourism economy is absolutely part of the role. And I think every destination needs to at least dig into this well enough to understand how to lead the businesses within their destination and educate them on whether or not it makes sense and how to utilize it if it does.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm thinking a lot is, you know, because you can think about something like reputation, you know, or a brand alignment, right? If someone like Myrtle Beach is trying to say, hey, we're going to double down on being family friendly, right? But then there's individual businesses out there that are talking in a different tone or with different narrative or to different audiences, it creates this inconsistency within the LLMs, which is going to create product confusion with the consumer. So I do think there's a place for the DMO to play that sort of curator and alignment maker within the community related to this. So we'll be exploring it for sure.
Yeah.
We'll add it to the list of all the other things we're exploring right now
Yeah.
with all the stuff changing. But that's why I wanted us to have this conversation. Maybe this warrants a whole episode on its own at some point. So Amir, we brought you on, sir, as an expert. I for one, and I've said this before on the show, I really appreciate what you guys do. Like, as a service, you and I know Miles contributes to this too, to make it happen, but this sort of periodic snapshot of where consumers' heads are, the psychographic side of things, is really, really important to us. And we make, not only do we make decisions from the data that you guys are providing, but in the stories, but we also share it with our board and we share it with our community, and it helps them understand our decision process. So thank you. I know you guys do that out of the goodness of your hearts for the industry. You also get some pretty good reputation bump for it, which leads to business too, but we appreciate you doing that, and hopefully that's on the horizon for a long time. But thank you.
Appreciate it. It's a labor of love. There's a whole team back in the offices that this is one of their passion projects. It really is. And our ability to give back to the industry some type of bellwether is just I think the right thing to do. So thank you.
So if someone's listening to this for the first time and has no clue what we're even talking about, and you give them like a 30-second elevator pitch on what it is and how they can subscribe.
Yeah, we have several, ongoing studies that we do, but this one in particular is called the American Travel Sentiment Tracker. Go to longwoodsinternational.com. You can just find it there under the what we do and just click, give your email, your name, and a couple other little bits of info, and you'll get added to the distribution list. Comes out once a month. Actually, Wave 103 comes out in
Wow.
just a couple of, actually probably the same day this one's going to be launched here. And so every month we spend a little bit of time talking to a random sample of 1,000 American travelers, asking them about 10 to 12 questions about their intent to travel and their thoughts on issues that may impact how and even their decision to travel in the next 6 months to a year based on the topic. And we make that available for all of you. It's a tracking study, so just kind of builds off itself. You can see the trends and the patterns, and I've been doing it since a week before the world shut down due to COVID.
Great. It's amazing. It really is a very useful tool. And we use this along with, there's other folks that do these kind of studies. I think, we look at all of them, but I think yours is one of the only one that's free for everyone. So to enjoy. So Amir, this is a loaded question, but 2026 is a big year. I feel like everyone I'm talking to feels that. I think there's a lot of change afoot in society. In the economy, with technology, with consumer behavior, with DMOs and their position in all this. So what the heck, man? What should we be thinking about? What are the things, trends you guys are looking at monitoring, and where, ultimately, where are the opportunities that we should be focused on in 2026?
2026, go back to the basics. Why do people travel? Why are they traveling? And this year, we saw it happening mostly the second half of 2025. It's about togethering. That use that old coin, that old term that Disney coined about 15 years ago or so. They are really traveling to get away and to be together. There, these are challenging times. These are scary times. Again, depending where you are in the world, frightening. The degree of uncertainty out there, going from moderate to extreme. And so we're seeing similar pattern now as to what we saw, not as extreme as post-COVID, and that people are getting away to. We'll go back to those words that start with the letters RE, to reconnect, to rejuvenate, to relax. They need to get away. So think about when it's me and my kids, or a couple, or even solo travel in certain ways. People are going to just get away to be together in there, and that's a rudimentary thing, and you're going to see it throughout a whole bunch of things that we can kind of get into the weeds a little bit with some of these things. But on the bright side is, despite the economic uncertainty, some of the global challenges, and so forth, demand is still near record highs. 9 out of 10. This is hot off the presses, got out into my hands yesterday. 9 out of 10 American travelers at the beginning of this year are telling us they're still going somewhere in the next 6 months. That's a near post-pandemic high. They're there, but at the same time, one third of them are very, very con greatly concerned that their financial situation is going to be impacting the way they travel. But the best news, almost one third, 3 out of 10 American travelers are telling us they plan to travel more this year than they did last year. And
Wow.
that same one third are saying they're going to spend more than they did last year, which, of course, if they travel more, they're going to spend more. It goes hand in hand. But that just shows you uncertainty doesn't want to make the American traveler want to hunker down. They just got to get away and escape from it,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
almost wonder if uncertainty accelerates the bucket list almost, because you're like, well, when can I do it? If there's uncertainty, stop waiting and do it now.
We're seeing a couple shifts. We've seen small growth in the longer term planning, which, to your point, Adam, is telling us that they are doing those more bucket lists, that longer term. I'm not going to put off that Alaska cruise another year. I'm going to go do that thing, or go climb Mount Kilimanjaro, or whatever. In there, at the same time, we're also and that's coming at the expense of shorter range travel. But we're also seeing that influx of regional travel, right? We're also seeing this is, God, last year the most overused word was bifurcation, right? It's a, and I get it, and it really was, but it still is to extent, the luxury traveler, they're still traveling unimpeded and so forth, and the value traveler or the budget traveler is still, staying closer to home, spending less, and there and but now we're seeing the squeeze being put on the middle. right? And we're seeing more and more travelers saying, I'm staying within a 500-mile radius of where I'm going to travel more, but I'm doing more getaways versus maybe full vacations. And I want to take my kids more. I want to take, the family, or I want to take my spouse and so forth. And even solo travel is evolving. Solo travel has kind of been quietly on the rise the last couple of years. And we're seeing more and more, especially with females, we're seeing more solo travel happening. But the solo travel, they want to meet up with other solo travelers now. They don't necessarily want to be alone. And they're using these as opportunities there. So again, this uncertainty wants us to get away, but be together at the same time.
Yeah. Are you seeing any shifts? We've looked a lot at that bifurcation last year and the K-shaped economy, and we're still seeing the impact of that, and I'll give you some sort of signals that we're looking at. So, and some of this is related to that. I think some of it's related to trust too, but our higher end, especially our flagged hotels in Myrtle Beach, have done considerably better than our independent hotels and especially our economy hotels. And a lot of folks, DI and others, have put out data that shows that's a national trend, not a Myrtle Beach trend. And there's a myriad of reasons for that. And one, I think, is price point, and that there were folks that just didn't have the means to travel last year. I think some of it might be we've seen an increase in people valuing things like loyalty points from flagged hotels, right? They're either collecting or using those loyalty points. I think that's part
And
of it,
isn't
but
that
it's also
funny?
trust.
Didn't they tell us the millennials and Gen Z weren't going to be brand loyal? Funny thing that happened when they started getting married and having kids, right?
It's the younger generation. It's always their fault, right? And then people forget that some of that is like the world they grow up in, but some of it is life stage, and so now we got Gen Zs with babies. They're behaving a lot more like millennials and Gen Xs did with babies, right? So it's yeah, I think people over focus on some of those other trends. But are you seeing, you mentioned the K-shaped economy. Are you seeing, or do you think, if you have your crystal ball, obviously there's some unknown consequences, good and bad, from the big beautiful bill that was just came into effect January 1. One of those is no tax on tips and things like that. And overtime, some people are saying that the lower income folks might get 20, 25% higher tax rebates this year, right? So there's some opportunity for some stimulus money to come into the economy this year, which could be used obviously for travel. Are you seeing any indications that that's the possibility?
On the periphery, nothing significant yet, and too early to tell, really. But from what we've seen and talking to some of my economist friends, like at Tourism Economics and others, we're seeing something that, they may be bringing home a little bit more money this year, but at the same time, costs are still going up. The true impacts of tariffs. Remember, the wiser economist told us, wait a year. It wasn't going to be in 3 months. It was going to be in 12 months we start feeling impacts. And we're already seeing indicators where the costs of goods sold is going up. We're seeing all these, the ch supply chain evolving. We're seeing all these things happening that are telling us, I'm not com I'm just not confident and willing to say at this point that the budget traveler is going to feel a little pressure coming off their back. I think if anything, the pressure is going to continue this year.
Yeah, for sure. Which is why they're looking to maybe not travel as far. The other thing that's interesting is we have a predictive model that we look at things like unemployment rate and GDP and gas prices. And there's like a bell curve with gas prices for us in terms of the positive and negative impact. Somewhere around $3 seems to be our sweet spot. And when we go above 328 or we go below about 280, it's negative. Right, we want to be in that sort of sweet range. Some of that is because gas prices are a lag indicator of demand, but some of it is people make trade-offs depending on the price of gas right now as well. So we're watching that. We're also watching unemployment. We've actually been shifting budget based on our feeder market's unemployment rate because you see unemployment ticking up at different rates in different areas. So if unemployment goes up, demand from that region goes down, we'll shift money from that region to a different region. So are there any other tips like that or things that you can think of based on the data you're seeing? What Demos should be thinking about in terms of shifting and targeting?
Watch household debt, and
Yeah.
watch the income, income bands of where that's happening in there. That's continuing to go back up again, right? We're seeing that incrementally going up. People are still willing to, I'll just put it on the credit card because I need to get away. What have we talked about before in this webinar on Zoom is that travel has for many has become a need versus a want. So they're willing to make other lifestyle sacrifices. Well, the easiest way to make lifestyle sacrifice is to whack it on the credit card. So that Piper, it comes calling eventually there. So I think again, this year you really got to go back to the basics. Why are they traveling? What's that emotional connect? How do you get to pull at that heartstrings to show them that they can get away the way they want to get away with whom they want to get away? And I think we started using this word a lot last year. I think this year, the most, last year, if it was bifurcation, this year, the most overused word is going to be intentional. Putting it out there right now, because everybody's talking about, you have to be more intentional in there. It's just about the emotional connect. Let's not forget that at the end of the
Yeah.
day. You want to be the winning DMO, get their heartstrings better than your competitor.
Well, and I think that's actually a really interesting point, Amir, because our industry as a whole has continued to optimize more and more towards performance marketing in a lot of cases, with an overinvestment on lower funnel activities, including Google Ads and social media conversion ads, stuff like that, right? And I think the danger there is if the emotional connection is going to be critical this year to connect with these visitors, and we're overinvesting on performance marketing, I do see a disconnect there that could really cause problems in the performance of some of the destinations that are out there. So I'd love to have you, Amir, if you don't mind, walk us through, like, okay, if emotional connection is kind of the critical thing to get people to actually book a trip. To you, what does that look like? Like, what changes in a marketing plan does that require in order to scratch that itch?
Look at it holistically. I think we, again, when you get into that performance marketing, you're getting so tactical, right? And you're getting, and you're looking for little nuances and performance here and there. And that's fine. I'm not saying, I mean, don't give up on smart marketing. But at the end of the day, I think we sometimes lose sight of the forest from the trees, right? It's that holistic. What is the message? How are we hitting them with the multiple touch points? Yes, I know we've shifted more to digital and that, but don't throw a baby out with the bathwater. There are other tactics that really do reinforce, your brand, your promise, your the experiential, and so forth. So for me, it looks, the easiest terms. Watch the words you're using, or the words you're conveying via the imagery that you're using, right? Watch those. I talked about it earlier. Those words that start with re, R-E. That's been that's it got real hot post-COVID. It's kind of petered a little bit, but now, and it shifted from re to me, but now it's going back to re again. In there, those types of things. Sometimes we're not watching our language enough, and we end up doing those darn, collage ads, as I call them, where look, I've got a water park, I've got a zoo, I've got a this, I've got a restaurant, I got people eating, I got people dancing, so does everybody else. And we forget, it's implied. Everybody knows they're getting away to have fun or to transform or to, whatever those things are in there. But it's but what's the word that hits? Why specifically do I need it? I need it because the world's crazy right now, and I need to get away because my job is just more hectic because we're doing more with less. And even though they said AI wasn't going to reduce our workforce, there's rumblings, or I've seen it in our, I've seen it already happen. The marketing team got cut by one third in my employer, or whatever those things are. It's the one thing travel offers is the ability to forget about everything else and transform for a little bit and a little while. And if we remind ourselves of that right now, or remind our audiences of that right now, I think it will bode well. And then here's the other whammy, because the market for the domestic traveler just got much more competitive over the past year, right? With the decline in international visitation. Now we're all hoping for a big year, right? We got World Cup coming up. We got America 250 coming up, but it just began. We've got the centennial of the Route 66. We've got all these things which In theory, and of course, the initial ticket sale requests and things for World Cup are looking pretty good, and all that. But as we know, there's so much uncertainty right now that these things could spin on a dime. And I pray it all works out well. I pray we all do well. But double down on that regional domestic drive market, and send them a message that hits their heartstring. That's my bottom line.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Amir went from saying the word of the year was going to be intentional to just for the last 5 minutes talking about how we all need to be more intentional. So, well done.
Did I
Nostradamus
say
fulfilled
intentional?
his own prophecy.
No. We I mean, be emotional. Be emotional, not intentional, right? You think about the best. People ask me all the time. You know what I think was one of the best marketing campaigns, any destination marketing campaign, the one that unfortunately was way underfunded, so not a lot outside the region immediately saw it. But you might remember this one, Adam, because you're kind of in that region. You remember Idaho, about
Eighteen
18 exactly
Summers.
which one you're doing.
18
Yep.
summers, right?
18
18 summers.
It's my all-time favorite tourism campaign. It's one of
That's
the
brilliant.
campaigns that made me fall in love with destination marketing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. But unfortunately, underfunded, didn't have the frequency and reach, the dollars behind it to really be as iconic as Pure Michigan or Virginia's for Lovers or and one of those campaigns. But it was iconic. Think about those again. Every creative genius in our industry right now needs to be thinking along those lines again. And yes, the channels are there, and you can do some hyper targeting or micro targeting and do what you got to do in there, but don't lose sight of the forest from the trees. At the end of the day, figure out how to get at least 5 to 6 touch points with this traveler that you want to reach, and make sure you're tugging at their heartstrings every single way along on the end. The transactional, they're going to do it. No, they'll buy if you touch their heartstrings. They're already showing you 9 out of 10 are going somewhere. They're charging more than ever. They're going. Just make sure the gas prices don't get too high or too low for Stewart.
Amir, I think, yeah,
They're
exactly.
too low right now. I need them to go up. Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of people in the industry that haven't been in for very long, right? The post-COVID additions to the industry who may not be familiar with the 18 Summers campaign. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to dissect it a little bit, so
Please.
everybody understands why it's a great example of what you're talking about. So Idaho for several years had a campaign called 18 Summers, and the whole point was you get 18 summers with your kids and then they move out. So you've got 18 summers to make the very most of it. And they shared stories from families who together would vacation in Idaho and have those experiences. And I mean, for one, there's very few campaigns that have actually made me emotional. The 18 summers campaign made me want to be a better father. And
If you are a parent and do not get goosebumps or do not get tears running down your cheeks when you see any elements of that campaign, you are a cold-hearted soul that deserves to be.
It even
But
made
you're
me feel
absolutely
something, I'll be
right.
honest.
What'd you say, Stuart?
It even made me feel something, and I'm,
There you go.
very out of
Stu had
my
an
depth.
emotional
Yeah.
reaction.
Even
It's
Stewart.
good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's true. And we talk a lot internally here about why people travel, but what did they take with them? What's the real value of travel? And you can sort of talk about enrichment and things like that, but for me, it's the memories that people make when they're and from those moments they have when they're on vacation become part of the story of their family unit, right? Or their group unit, or them as an individual. It transcends anything practical that we promote. It's not about coming and visiting the breweries or the live shows or the beach even. It's about those memories and those feelings that you capture and store and carry with you for life. That's what matters. And we've got to find a better way to communicate that. When we first started working with MMGY and they did a rebranding research, Stuart Colovan sort of had this big insight, which was most of the relationships we were driving with our consumer were practical and that we needed to get more emotional with it. And I'm a big believer on people feel something And then they think something and then they do something. It's not the other
Right.
way around, right? We
Yeah.
sometimes rationalize and think that we're thinking first, but anyone that studied neuroscience sees that it's a subconscious part of the brain, the feelings that drive us, and then we rationalize with thoughts. So we got to make people think stuff. I might go ahead and recreate. I'm just going to steal 18 summers. I'm going to call it 19 summers and say, hey,
Somebody
you
should,
got to do
right?
one
It's
more
up for
year when they
grabs.
move out.
Yeah, yeah. So somebody should. It was retired, but again, so much of the creative and the campaigns I'm seeing nowadays are so transactional. And I talk to the marketing folks, and they're just so they're well, they're seeking value. Amir, you even said in your research or travel, well, yeah, they're seeking value, but they want their heartstring pulled first. Then they'll try to see, make sure they have the best deal for their money. Okay, that's fine. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's all about right there.
Well, and
Yeah.
Amir, your advice to go back to basics, right? Like that's where you started this conversation. And the why are people traveling? And they're traveling to be together and to create memories with each other. And yet you look around at the campaigns that are happening around the industry, and we've got some incredible logical explanations of why you should visit the destination, right? And Stuart, your comment that people feel before they do, you're 100% correct. And back to basics is getting back to feelings and emotionally connecting with our visitors to get them to take a trip.
And I'll be the first to admit, I think we've made some mistakes here at Visit Myrtle Beach under my leadership. Like when we've realized it and we've made adjustments, but we used to lead a lot. We actually did a lot of experimentation around this with like what photos and verbiage to use between emotional versus practical, because we've ran ads that say, 60 miles of beautiful, wide open beaches and in 2,000 restaurants and da da da. Like we're leaning on the stats and the data. And what we realized along the way is you got to put people in that story. You got to make it, what is it? How does that affect that? Someone can't stay at 60 miles of beaches, right? So what does that actually mean to you as an individual? You can't eat at 2,000 restaurants. Like, what does that
No.
actually mean to you?
No, but the image of the brother who buried his sister up to her neck in the sand with mom and dad sitting in the, snoozing in the beach chair behind him, that's a home run.
For sure. And by the way, I think if anyone could eat at 2,000 restaurants, it's probably Amir because he plans so many decent, I mean, amazing restaurant experiences. So he's certainly eaten at more than 2,000 in his time in the
It's a
industry.
challenge. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Are you still doing your podcast? Complete tangent. I hadn't
Yeah,
heard it in a
we
while.
took a little hiatus. My partner in crime got a new job and a promotion with a big corporate giant there. So his time's been a little more limited, but we actually are back in the studio this weekend to start recording the next several episodes. So
It's always entertaining. Do you want to give it a shameless plug real quick?
you gonna eat that? That's it.
That's the name of the podcast. It's
That's
good. It's just
on all major
two food
platforms.
lovers that just talk about the food experiences they've had. It's
Yeah.
entertaining. You have good banter.
Thank you.
You obviously care about each other way more than Adam and I do. So
We get our digs in. We get our digs in before and after we go on our show.
Yeah. The bar's low, Amir.
that's fair. It's all relative. For sure.
All good.
Well, this is great. I think it reinforces a lot of what Visit Myrtle Beach is thinking about, and how we got campaigns coming out that are talking a lot about moments and things, but the practical side is also relevant too. I think one of the best pieces of advice you've ever given me was talking about storytelling, and others have said this in the industry too, but you were the first that I heard it from. But when you're talking to stakeholders and you're educating them on impact of the work you do, don't lean on the data, right? Tell the stories. And you've shared about like having other people tell those stories too, like having the florist come in and talk about the impact that having groups in your area has. So do you still stand by this? Have you got any examples recently where you've seen wins through storytelling that help communicate the value? Because, and the reason I'm asking is Adam talks a lot about the illusion of relevance, which a lot of DMOs have fallen into. But I think one of the things you guys try to do is focus on the actual impact that people are having. So I don't know if we want to spend a couple of minutes talking around that.
Sure. I mean, there's It's no secret. So many DMOs and so many states are under the gun right now, right? It's kind of that there's all those movements to replace to redirect lodging tax for property tax relief, for example. I've lost count of how many states that's currently being attempted in right now. You have the Doge hangover effect. Doge is long gone, but its versions in many states is still around and doing all kinds of interesting little shenanigans in there. And again, it's at the end of the day, it's about votes. I was telling somebody the story the other day, back in my early in my career, one of the best conversations I'd ever saw was I was a Longwoods customer back in my DMO days a few times, and one when I was a state travel director in Ohio, and we were up before a budget committee hearing, and you probably heard me tell this story anecdote once or twice, but we're sitting in a budget committee hearing. And I happened to bring the founder of our company, Dr. Bill Siegel, with me. We had some new data. I just wanted him as an expert in case they got in the weeds. That's also the thing. Don't try to be the experts on all things data if you're not the data person, because it's okay to say, that's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I know who does, and I'll get back to you. But anyway, so I had a we had a chair of the Senate Finance Committee who was just. He was always skeptical, and he was but Ohio, we're not a vacation destination. I'm like, yeah, you're right. We're a getaway destination. Here's what we do. Blah 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 blah. And he's just like, yeah, but they're gonna come anyway. They're gonna come anyway, in there. And I said, you know what, sir, let me shed some perspective on that. And I called Bill up to the podium, and Bill gets up there, and he says, Senator so and so, how many terms have you been in? Yeah, in your office. And he goes, oh, I just got reelected to my whatever term. And he goes, did you run for campaign recently? He goes, oh, I just got reelected last fall. Oh, that's great. Congratulations. How much did you win by? By about, I don't know, about 30, 40 points. The opposition almost didn't run anybody against me till the last minute. And so, well, then did you take out yard signs, put up billboards? And he goes, well, yeah, of course, that's what you do in a campaign. Well, again, with all due respect, sir, wouldn't they have voted for you anyway? And I thought I was fired. At that point, I thought I was going to lose my job. But I watched the senator, like a realization just kind of wash over the senator's face. And he looked at it and he goes, okay, touche, Dr. Siegel, touche, great point. But the moral of the story is, again, you have to make it personal. You have to make it local. You have to know your audience. So whether you're bringing the florist in to talk about, because the florist represents a small business and voter in the community there, or you relate it to what the legislator, whoever holds the purse strings, knows, that's where the wins are. That's where the wins are. And honestly, those destinations that are fending off these attacks or are working on, or at least seeing the success more than others are the ones who have figured out how to make that connection, right? And again, it's an emotional connect. You can't solve left brain problems with right brain solutions and vice versa. And that's one thing you have to always keep in mind.
Yeah, I think that relationship, especially with your elected officials, is critical. And I see a lot of DMOs, and we've been like this in the past. We're not right now, but we've been where they're sort of seen as enemies or on the other side of stuff. And I think the more you can be together on everything and agree to disagree where, but be honest about where the alignment's not there. But the best example of that I remember in Myrtle Beach was we would, we'd go up before city council every quarter and do our accountability reports and talk about how we're performing and share a little bit about what we're doing. And, over the years we'd shared a lot about influencer marketing or content creator marketing, and you could just see the eyes roll in from these guys that just didn't really get it, didn't understand the value of it. And then we did our sister organization, Gulf Tourism Solutions, brought in a golf creator group called St. Andre Golf. And they did this really fun song about a boy's trip to Myrtle Beach. And they did it, it was great. And I think, Adam, you texted it to me. Like, anyone that sort of intersects golf and travel had seen this video. And I'd probably had a dozen people send it to me. And at the very next council meeting, when we were presenting, we didn't even talk about this. But one of the city council members said, I just want to say, I was never behind any of the stuff you did with influences until I saw that video because I follow those guys. And even though I live in Muller Beach, it made me want to visit Muller Beach. And so we're like, there you go. So knowing your stakeholders and knowing what influences them and showing through language they understand and context they understand is one of the most powerful things you
Well,
can do.
I want to speak to that though, because I think that's a fascinating case study. Because when we talk about connecting with visitors, I think we all understand that you have to make an emotional connection first, right? When we talk to our stakeholders, we are 99% driven by logic. Like, when's the last time anybody walked into a stakeholder meeting and said, I'm going to make these people feel something? No, it's, I've got all my data here, and let's start with website visits and let's work our way down to economic impact. And everybody's asleep and nobody gives a crap what the details are. But if we came in with the objective in those meetings to make someone feel something every single time, we would experience the same exact result we do on the advertising side.
Which isn't that funny because the DMOs are the best storytellers in the community, arguably, in most cases. So
Should
for
be.
goodness sakes, we always lead with this is how many visitors, how many room nights, how many our impressions are through, all that stuff. And like you said, the eyes just glaze over. The data should be the supporting material. When you tell that story, when you hit that emotional connect, you go, oh yeah, tell me more. Yeah, matter of fact, what you just saw there, Councilman, that golf video that you saw, that little song, that generated X amount of impressions, which converted to what, then you go into that, and then you're the smartest guy in the room, right? But that's, yeah, we too often lead with the numbers when the reality is, that every elected official gets hit with 5,000 different issues that are all priority to whatever citizen's hitting them up for it there. How do you make yourself stand out? Tell the best story. Same thing in destination marketing, right? Just tell the best story.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I know when I first joined this industry, one of the first things I did was just went and download. I listened to books. I don't read books because of my vision. So I just went, I had probably 10 credits on Audible and I just consumed them all on storytelling books. Like that's all I read for the first, that was the best education I could get on destination marketing was just core storytelling, the neuroscience of storytelling, all that stuff. I would encourage anyone that's a marketer to go read about. Storytelling isn't some magical thing, right? There's a formula to it. It's very well documented. There's tons of really smart people for thousands of years have given us instruction manuals on how to tell good stories. We just got to apply that, right, to what we're doing today with a modern lens. Well, this is cool, man. Nice way to put a bow on this, Adam. Like you tied it all together. That's pretty good. I feel like finally out of
Wait, know the date and
66.
time. Stu complimented Adam.
66 episodes. It took you a
Yeah.
while, but finally you contributed in a meaningful way to the show. So thanks, Adam.
Oh, I thought you meant that long to get a compliment from you, but same thing. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I will compliment when it's deserved. So there we go. I guess we are saying the same thing.
I guess so.
See, and even I felt something with that 18 Summers campaign, and I'm heartless. So it's pretty good. Oh, man. Well, Amir, any final thoughts from you, my friend, and any other worlds, pearls of wisdom you'd want to share with our audience?
I'll just kind of remind people again, get back to the basics, make the emotional connect, and remember that people right now are traveling not just for the transformation, but for the distraction. And nothing distracts better than whatever your destination has to offer them. So go ahead and go out there and sell. And at the end of the day, there's always going to be a crisis. Just keep doing what you do best and keep telling your story best, and you'll be fine.
You know, one of my guilty pleasures right now is there's a bunch of YouTube channels that are using AI to tell history, but they'll do reconstructions and actually
Yes,
show
yes.
you visuals of how it was. And I've been going through all these really fascinating history videos about English history and European history and American history and all the wars and the takeovers. And I watched one the other day which went through every king or monarch of the England has ever had. And I was probably taught some of this in school, which I didn't really pay attention then like I should have, but it's so fascinating how it's really only in the last I'd say less than 100 years that society has been as stable as it is. Like throughout the last several thousand, it has been tumultuous in people fighting and murdering and just it's just destruction for the most part of the last 2,000 years. And here, I was watching a video the other day with Jimmy Carr, and it's he said he's a comedian from England, and he said, objectively, we live in the best times, especially in America, right? It's the most, and people will get offense to what I'm about to say, but objectively, it's hard to disagree with it. It's the most just, fair, wealthiest. Like the fact we have a supercomputer in our pocket, the fact that we, for the most part, can do pretty much what we want as long as we're not harming other people. So objectively, it's probably the best time to have ever lived if you look at history in a real, through an objective lens. But yet, subjectively, we feel more marginalized and oppressed and, against each other than we ever have. It's really a fascinating time. So I'm trying to put things in perspective. I mean, yes, there's horrific things happening in the world right now, and it feels like the world is on fire. But go read history. Go read history.
Well, it used to be
It'll
a
put
lot
it in
more on fire.
context. It sure did. Yeah. No one. No one even had ever taken a hot shower until 1920. Let me put that in perspective. Tomorrow morning, when you're taking your hot shower, no one before 1920 had ever had that luxury.
Before 1920, most people did not have indoor plumbing.
Correct. Yeah. So, we can do better as a society, and we all should, but we also need to keep it in perspective. But the truth remains that, we can connect with people, and travel is a great distraction and escape and a great way to enrich us. And I promise you, if we all traveled more and learned from the places we traveled to, we'd probably be a little kinder and empathetic to each other, and we probably wouldn't have half the troubles we have today either. So let's go
Agreed.
travel, man. And let's sell some travel.
Let's go do
Adam, any final thoughts?
Amir, I just really appreciate you coming on and helping us kind of get back to basics here. I mean, my takeaway from this is if what is driving the bus, you're going nowhere, but if why is driving, you're very likely to get where you want to go, right? And I think so many of us, tactics are driving the bus. And strategies nowhere to be found. And I think we got to get back to basics, start with why, and build campaigns that actually connect emotionally with people. And then we can get to tactics from there.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. This is really good. I think I'm gonna really encourage our team to listen to this episode, because I think it's a good reminder for all of us where we should be intentional, where we should be deliberate, and where we can have the biggest impact, because where we're spending our time isn't always the place that is having the biggest impact. So, Amir, if they want to find you, what's the best way to do that?
Along with international.com or just anywhere on social media.
Or at any conference, the nicest restaurant in that city.
Yeah.
And Amir will probably be there too.
Or at you gonna eat that?
Gonna eat that? Yeah.
That's true. Adam, if they want to find you.
Adam at thebrandrevolt.com. You can find me on LinkedIn and of course on Tourism IQ.
Great. And you can find me at stuart.butler@visitmontebeach.com. Reach out if you disagree with anything we said today, or you just have a topic, a burning topic you'd like to come and discuss with us. And until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody. But you did. You did. So you, at the very end, when I thought all was lost, you said, "So let's all go travel." I was like, "All right." He did it. He found
Have
it.
our ending.
Oh, man.